Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm not James.
And together we're arguing the toss about...
The things that really matter in games?
Matter in games.
Sorry, ma'am. I'm the temp, and I know I screwed that up, but I'll keep trying.
It was a good effort.
Thank you.
James will be proud. Yeah, unfortunately, James isn't with us today, but John Breeden is, so yay to that.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. I had a good time talking about books last time, so I'm glad that we're doing that again.
Yeah, it's part two of books we'd like to see as games. So do you want to kick us off?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing as you're the guest.
Oh, I get to start. Thank you so much. So these are books that we think would be decent games. So I'm going to pick one that actually was already made into a game, but only a text adventure. And I think it could be so much more. And that is The Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. Larson is probably one of my favorite authors as of late. So Devil in the White City, if you guys aren't familiar with that, is about one of the world's first serial killers, I believe. It takes place in the 1800s, around the 1893 World's Fair, which was also known as the World's Columbia Exposition. And this is a true story. It was a guy, he was a doctor, his name was Dr. Henry Howard Holmes, and he built this hotel.
Oh my gosh, I saw a documentary about
that. Yeah, he's like...
Just before I went to Paris.
Yeah, he's real creepy. He built this hotel with like... Yeah, he was totally insane, but he had a gas chamber and like a crematorium and all this stuff in his hotel, and he would basically murder people and then like sell their skeletons to like medical facilities and stuff. And
I
mean, he was like one of these guys that were like, you know, he's a total genius. Like he knew everything, like, and... the only reason he got caught was because he killed some woman. He was running so many scams. He was running some scam where he would like marry women and then get them to give him his money, and then they would disappear or go to Europe, quote unquote, and never to be seen again.
Go to his hotel.
Exactly. Somebody hired a detective to find out what really happened to this woman, and this detective was able to like put the dots together and figure out, you know, what this guy really was, and it was really like a huge feat of detective work. And it's also, it's the backdrop of it is the World's Fair, which at the time was huge. I mean, they built like an entire city that was like the World's Fair, and it was like the biggest thing ever. You know, I mean, I guess we still have World's Fairs today, but they're not like, you know, they're kind of like an amusement park that would spring up out of nowhere and exist for a few years during the World's Fair. So it's kind of cool. And, you know, people would get to see electric lights and things like that that they didn't have. Like,
yeah, it was kind of more than just a theme park, wasn't it? It was kind of like all the new modern gadgets and things.
Kind of a glimpse into what the future might look like type of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio bought the rights to the movie version in like 2010, I think, but hasn't done anything with it yet. So I don't know if he's going to eventually play the bad guy or the detective or whatever, but there was a text adventure game that you played called Devil in the White City that was really good, but I mean, it was, you know, and you got to see pictures of the World's Fair and stuff and tried to solve a mystery, but I just think I think they could do a really good job with it today with like modern technology, with, you know, having you be the detective, maybe like a Sherlock Holmes type thing, but like a lot darker, you know.
Yeah,
I think that would be a cool game. So that's my first one.
I think that's a cool one, because you could, like, walk around the World's Fair and, you know, like, pick your victims.
If you were the bad guy,
You could build the hotel, like, put extensions on and
stuff. Oh, yeah, it could be like a sim, you know? You could kill people and make money and stuff. Sure.
That's a really good one. I like that. I've got a few on my list, but my first one I'm going to pick is Huckleberry Finn.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, I thought it would, you could have like the sort of new adventures of Huckleberry Finn, as he goes down the river on his raft, and he could maybe stop places that weren't in the book. You know, you could have, you know, I suppose the story that we all know and love, but you could also have other places that he could stop, and yeah, you can kind of pilot the raft.
Do side quests.
Yeah, Huckleberry Finn's side quests. Because there must be lots that we didn't get to be privy of the life of Huckleberry Finn.
No, that's great. I one of the very few books that I read as a child was Huckleberry Finn, and it, you know, you read it and you just want to build a raft and go down the river like it's the most awesome thing ever, you know.
Yeah, it's an exciting book. And what's the name of the guy that he travels with? The slave.
Oh, I forget. You're asking me. I thought you were going to ask me. I thought you were going to ask me about Mark Twain. Now you're asking about characters in the book.
Is it Jim? Is his name Jim?
Yeah. I think because he has a derogatory name as well that they use for him, which was, you know, popular at the time.
Really? Okay.
You'd have to kind of PC it up for today.
Yeah. Well, I suppose not necessarily, as long as, you know, it was. You know, it could be a window into that world, you know, the bad side of that world as well as the good. Cause I suppose that's partly what Huckleberry Finn did, isn't
it? Yeah. No, I think that would be great. And you could do it with, like, the Wii U or whatever, with the painting. You could paint the fences and stuff with the controller.
Yeah, I think it would be cool, and it's a world that we don't really go into that sort of time period either.
No, not at all, but it was exciting. I mean, there were things, there were thieves and abandoned riverboats and things like that. I think it would be exciting,
Yeah, because there was the floating house or something, wasn't there? Because there was a flood, and they met all sorts of people, and it could be a bit like a children's version of Red Dead Redemption.
I guess so. Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd play, definitely.
Yeah, I think it would be a good one. So what's next on your list?
Okay, so I want to go back to a series that I read a few years ago. It's called Orcs, and it is about orcs. It's by Stan Nichols, and he actually has a whole series now. There's actually, I think, 4 books in the Orcs series, and it was the first fantasy book that I read that was written from the orcs' perspective. You know, orcs are always kind of like the stereotypical bad guy in all the D&D. It's like, oh no, orcs are coming. So this was written from the perspective of the orcs, and it was interesting because the orcs kind of took on a... they were kind of like, they saw themselves as kind of like an oppressed people, you know, like, you know, we try to be good, but everybody, you know, locks up their kids and stuff when we come into town and everything. So, and then, I don't know, at first, I guess the main characters kind of like live up to that stereotype because they figure why not? And they go on raids and stuff and everything. But, you know, later on, I guess the orcs begin to like explore their humanity, quote unquote. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting to set it from their perspective because I didn't really feel like they were the bad guys reading it. And I think it would be neat to see a fantasy world, from an orc's perspective, you know, where you kind of didn't see them as just the bad guy. You kind of, you had to make sure you got enough food for your clan and everything and all that stuff. And I don't know, maybe make some moral decisions about captives or something. I don't know. I think it would be an interesting exploration. And I think people would dig it.
Yeah, I think so. Because like, people like being big monsters, but. Kind of just like Hulk smash.
I guess so. So anyway, that's one I would really think would be a cool game.
I like that one. Okay, my second one is The Neverending Story by Michael Ende.
Oh, great movie.
I was going to say, I don't know if you remember the film, but the film was lovely, but I don't know if you've ever read the book, but the book is amazing, beautiful book. And I read it as a kid right before the film came out. I'd never heard of it. I think my mum came home with it from the office or something. She got it through work somehow. And I was just, you know, like absolutely entranced by this book because there's the story of the boy reading a book and then he ends up in the book, and it's just like that, you know, it's like the thing that you want to happen. You want to be able to go inside your books when you're a kid, sometimes when you're an adult too, you know. And I just loved that book within a book idea, and the characters were just, you know, the world was so fairy tale like, but wasn't like anything, you know, it wasn't Tolkien-esque, so it wasn't sort of fairies and elves and things, it was, you know, sort of rock eating giants and things like that. It was but I think it would make it really cool, because it's, you know, it's a hero's quest, and that's what most games, you know, that's the sort of the path they usually follow. And, you know, the luck dragon and things like the where he goes into the swamp of misery or whatever it's called, where they get really sad, and the, oh, and remember the horse died. and you know, you could have all, you know, it's perfect for a game, because you have just like missions in different parts, and maybe you play a different aspect of you know, that world, and the Never Ending Story might not be Atreyu necessarily.
That would be cool. And I, you know, it's another one of those where the movie, I never read the book, but I can imagine the book is amazing, because the movie was really cool. But the movie, you know, it came out, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So it was limited by what they could do. So I think a lot of the a lot of the stuff from in a video game, you know, these days we can do pretty much anything. I think they could be a little bit more truer to the book, as far as you know, the movie was a little campy, you know, in places and stuff. You know, and I don't know if the book was like that, or that was just
the use of
Muppets or whatever.
<You know>? Yeah. The use of 80s soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But no, the book was, it wasn't like that at all. And in fact, it went quite esoteric at the end. And yeah, it was just like really out there, psychedelic kind of. Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a whole aspect of it that was never seen in the film.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So I think we've got to pretty much wrap it up there with our library of books, our never-ending library.
Oh yeah, well, your show, your rules. I will say, James, come back. I'm doing a terrible job here. Where are you, man?
Well, because we're pocket-sized, the Gin Lounge is the sort of the opus of.
I'm just getting warmed up. What's going on?
No, that's the thing. But so we hope that, there have been some good ideas. You never know, there might be some developers listening to our show. We might see, what's it, the man in the white suit?
The devil in the white city.
Yeah, devil in the white city, okay. So, we'd like to hear other people's ideas of books they'd like to see as games. Or poo-poo our ideas. Do you think you can do better?
Yeah.
And so then we'll be back with another episode. This is usually James's. I feel like I'm having an affair.
Oh. Well, that's
James's absence. I shall say soon we'll be back for some more arguing
with James. But,
Until then, John, thanks for being a great guest, as always.
I love being here. I love being here, being part of the affair.
I'm just trying to find our outro music. This is live, people.